Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here we go. Game on. Mike Maxson for Chad Hartman for the next 3 hours. With a whole lot to talk about, and we will. Twins are in first place. Thad Levine will join us. We got a guy who served in World War II. He's turning 100 today. Kenny Hansen's going to be on with us. McAllister basketball coach Abe Waldislassi, he and his student-athletes are doing something pretty powerful over in St. Paul to make sure children have supplies. But we start with Dr. Johnny Hunter from the Hospitality House. He is my barometer. This is when I take the temperature of what's going on in the city of Minneapolis. You always want to go with the people that are embedded there, that live it every day, that see it every day, that understand it every day, and they understand it at a different level than you and I do unless you live in the city. And it's easy for the rest of us who go home at night, who commute to and from, to speculate and have conjecture on the vibe, on the feel of the city of Minneapolis. And this isn't just pertaining to Breonna Taylor, but across the board, how it feels every day. What's it look like as Cub Foods tries to rebuild itself over on Broadway? All those things you can only really speak to if you live there, because I am forever surprised when I spend time in Minneapolis with what I don't know about what's going on in Minneapolis. Dr. Hunter, always a pleasure. You and I filmed we've never done this before. We did a virtual for inner city tennis. John Wheaton's got this great program to help inner city kids play tennis and get involved in school on the education side. And you and I were involved in it. Have you ever seen such a thing, putting together a banquet like that on tape?
Not to that magnitude.
Not only were there bells and whistles, but there were even free pastries for us in the green room.
I know. That's amazing. Yeah, John really treats us well.
Well, it was great to be with you, as it always is that morning. I want to start. Let's start with Breonna Taylor and how it resonates in Minneapolis. Now we've got a little bit of perspective because we saw what went on here this summer, and we saw the volatility of some of the reaction. Obviously, most of it centered around George Floyd. When something like this happens in Louisville yesterday, when police officers are not indicted, etc., what does that do in Minneapolis? And is it different now than it was a few months ago?
Well, I don't think it's no different, Mike. Again, the people in charge are still not justifying the cause of murder of black families and black people, period. So it's tough, and there's a lot of confusion. But one thing for sure, we know when something gets handed down to that magnitude that they've been waiting on for 6 months. And I have plenty of family in Louisville.
Really?
A couple of siblings, and they kind of shut down because it was a lot like the George Floyd incident here in our streets. And people are tired, basically. But again, it's a very, the devil likes confusion. And when stuff like this happens, communities are not at ease at all.
Is it possible that by the letter of the law, they were right in what they did yesterday, and the outcome of this will be you need to change the laws then? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Is it possible that both sides are right?
For me, it's hard for me to determine, but I know one thing you said that was very correct is that we need to get out and vote and can change some of these laws that are not holding people accountable for their actions. And in Louisville, they did change one law, the no-knock law. They sure got that out of the way quick. But I got confused in Louisville a little bit. That was putting a cart before the horse. They settled with a $12 million lawsuit that was kind of indicating to the people that somebody was going to pay for the death of Brianna. And then to come back after 6 months or so and say nobody's held accountable kind of confused the people.
Okay, so one of the things that scares me about this is, you know, we all know where we're heading in Minneapolis. In March, there's going to be a trial, and we don't know where it's going to go.
That's true.
And my concerns are really two and threefold, I guess. Number one is, does this incite more chance for violence in March because they saw what happened? And they say, oh, my gosh, this happened with Taylor. Now it's going to happen to us. And if it doesn't go the way that the city wants it to go or the majority of the citizens in the city, do we need to be more concerned?
It could, no doubt about it. But, again, I'm praying that the leaders of Minneapolis and of Louisville will get the people together and march peacefully and get people out to vote. For change can come, because more than anything to me, Mike, it's a wake-up call, you know, that people need to get out and vote, and things are not going the way they should. They need to vote and get the right people in there that will give everybody equal rights and justice.
What's the feeling on the north side, and specifically to the mayor and the city council? There's been a lot of different decisions they've made, whether it's involving the police department and other. In general, is there an open forum or open dialogue, do you feel, between citizens and the council and the mayor? Are people disappointed in what they've seen, the way they handle the police department part of it? What's the feel?
In my circle, Mike, we're very disappointed because we know there's bad cops and different things, and there's bad folk on the street that need to be taken care of. But we also know that Chief Aaron Donald is doing a good job trying to weed out the bad, and we need our police officers. Because me, myself, I know quite a few great police officers that are really working hard for the people. And that's the scary part that I really struggle with when they talk about defunding the police. We know the police need some reform and some weeding out of certain folks and things, but not having police in Minneapolis, it makes crime go up. It gets the police scared, like they don't have a backing from our city council when they talk about defunding the police. So I disagree with that all completely.
You know, and part of it, and you and I have seen this up close quite a bit, because these are two people that we know well, Charles Adams and Troy Dillard. Troy, a big part of the community engagement program, which was supposed to bridge the gap, they've eliminated that. Charles was inside the school, of course, of Minneapolis North, so he had his thumb on the pulse. Now, right now, that's a moot point because it's distant learning, but eventually, I assume they'll go back to school, and it will be. They're together now as partners on the north side, police officers working a beat. To me, that's the good news. When you see what they did to those two alone, how does that strike you, and is it at least a good thing that they're out on the street in Minneapolis with ear to ground and understanding of what's going on?
I think it's one of the best things Chief Aaron Donald could have did for North Minneapolis is bring people to the police force precinct that know the people. And I'm praying, hopefully, that they, as they're reaching out and partnering with Hospitality House, that they will encourage other community kids and teenagers to be police officers that live in the neighborhood. I always say, Mike, when I grew up, we knew almost every police officer in the neighborhood. And now it's so distant because you have so many police officers that don't live in the neighborhood or don't participate in none of the community things that are going on in the neighborhood.
And on top of that, we don't have kids in school, so we can't see what they look like, what they feel like, because it is distant learning right now. I was at Washburn the other day, and you know, the football team was practicing. They said, this is great because it's the only time we get to see each other, and I hadn't even thought about that. But that to me is a major concern as we talk about an education gap and really just not knowing where a kid is at. You can't look at them, and I think they're so vulnerable to depression and things like that right now.
Yes, and it's hurting the family. I was talking to a few friends in the community, in the churches. They're going to really start because parents have to stay home and parents need to be at work. So they're going to start opening the churches to help with distant learning for a group to come to a certain spot. And we're thinking about doing the same thing here at Hospitality, y'all, where the parents can go to work and have some time to take care of household stuff. In which right now they're kind of trapped in the house with their kids. And be honest, Mike, some are losing their job.
Yeah. And so, here we go. Now it multiplies and gets worse, right?
Yeah. And distant learning is, I adopted a six-year-old, so I know that it's kind of tough for kids to sit in front of that computer on a consistent basis, day by day by day. And so they got to come up with something. Maybe they have to open up some of these schools that are closed for we can have the correct spacing and get the kids back in and follow the CDC recommendations.
Amen. Because, you know, where I live, too, with teenagers, they're just, by the end of the day, they're tired of looking at a screen. They don't get some of the stuff. They're depressed. They haven't seen anybody. They haven't talked to anybody in person, and it wears them out. I just want an aside before I let you go, though. You did adopt a six-year-old, you and your wife, Brenda. It's a wonderful story. It's a terrible story and a wonderful story because they'd lost both their parents.
Correct. And that is the sad part about it, but
Can you explain how they lost, what happened that led them to you?
Yeah, they had a car accident. Their parents, and what happened, the mother and the father got killed. But this child, which name is Bishop, was in the back of the seat, in his car seat, correctly, thank the Lord, and didn't get a scratch on him. And so we have been taking care of him since he was 2 years old. And then finally we got a chance to adopt him.
How's he doing overall?
He is doing great. You would never know. You know, he's still young, and we do mention it to him periodically, but yep, he's doing great. He's here at Hospitality House doing the distant learning, and he's a happy, happy child.
Yeah, we'll have to take another segment another time to talk about that because I think a lot of people, you know, not only would be interested in that, but interested in helping other people when it comes along in a tragic situation like that. One more aside, a week from Saturday, you're partnering with Chad Greenway, right, for a football camp?
Yes, sir. That is exciting. Chad Greenway, North High School and Hospitality House are having a Chad Greenway football camp with different stations. It ain't just about football. It's going to be about community building. And it's going to be great. It's Saturday, October 10th at North High Football Field. And it happens from 12 to 3 o'clock, 12 noon to 3 o'clock. And everybody should, if they can, we do have to follow CDC. But if you go to Chad Greenway's page or Hospitality House, you'll be able to pick up some information that you'll need if you want to attend.
Appreciate you, my friend.
All right, Mike, one thing. Yeah. What a great segment with the mask on your show yesterday.
Last night?
I laughed so hard that I couldn't stop laughing. That was one of your best ones, boy, I'll tell you.
That's because you couldn't see me. That's why you liked it.
Bless you, Mike.
Appreciate you, my friend. Work. Keep up the great work. Dr. Johnny Hunter heads the Hospitality House.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds.
You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.